Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Football and Feelings, the podcast that shows a deeper side to the fans, the creators, anyone with an affiliation with the sport that we all love. You've joined me for a slightly different format today. We're going to do three key questions on this audio exclusive episode. One's going to be football related, one's going to be hypothetical, and one's going to be deep and personal. And for that, I'm joined by Alfie Macken. Hello, mate. How are you?
Hello, mate. I'm all good, thanks. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure, mate. Welcome to the studio. What do you think?
Yeah, it's my first online podcast, actually.
Is it?
It's new to me, but no, I'm excited for it, to be fair. Got a nice setup going.
Yeah, nice one, mate. Yeah, I've seen the vids that you've done. You do a lot of like solo podcasting, don't you?
Yeah, recently I have been, obviously due to like lockdown, that sort of thing. But yeah. I really want to start just getting people back into, you know, my setup and stuff, because I prefer the face-to-face is so much better.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it is much better. And you need to get Robbie Knox on a bench again. That's what we all need.
I look back at that, funnily enough, and like we're sat between some bird poo. Like and I never noticed it when I was there, and I was editing it, and I was like, I could title this like Alfie Mack and Robbie Knox chatting between some bird poo. Like, honestly, what a setup.
Yeah, you don't get that on Joe Rogan's podcast.
No, you don't.
Anyway, before we sort of dive into like these three questions, Alfie, I'll ask you, as I do for most of the guests, really, how are you feeling at the moment mentally? How are you doing?
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, I'm decent at the moment. Got a lot on my mind just in terms of like work and stuff, but no, in general, all good, man. All good. How are you? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, I've had a very busy few weeks, probably like the busiest that I've ever been, it feels like. And I felt, you know when you get really busy and you're spinning all these different plates, you can feel overwhelmed, and inevitably all of these plates sort of crash down because you're trying to spin too many plates. But yeah, not too bad. I'm trying to keep things simple, you know, just doing the usual stuff, going through the motions each day. Do you know what I mean?
Nah, literally, I'm the same. I'm the exact same.
Right, let's dive into the first question. Sweet. Which is going to be, which player made you fall in love with the sport? Go on, you go first, you take the lead.
Okay, this was very easy for me. As soon as I saw this question that you sent it over to me, I was like, bang, I know. For me, it's none other than Steven Gerrard.
Nice.
Mainly because it's not just that he was an amazing player, but he was like such a pivotal captain for that Liverpool team. And I don't think people give enough respect to him. Like, he stood out and was that good, and his class as one of the best Premier League midfielders of all time, whilst being surrounded by, no offence, a team that was nowhere near his standards. Jay Spearing, David Ngog up front. Like, and there were many opportunities in his career where he was offered a better place to play football, to get that Premier League trophy, to gain even more Champions League trophies, obviously the famous one with nearly going to Chelsea they didn't do. And I think I respect him even more for that, because he was that close and he knew he would have excelled and even got more goals, more assists, more trophies by leaving Liverpool to go to the likes of Chelsea. He had offers from Man United earlier in his career, but he stayed with his boyhood club. And yeah, I think that's the main reason, like, this the respect for him. And when I was younger, everything had to be Steven Gerrard for me. My boots, my first pair of boots, I was like, Dad, I want Steven Gerrard's boots. What ones he's got? He had these Predators at the time. Bought the Predators. Haircut. My auntie used to cut my hair for me, and I was like, I want Steven Gerrard's haircut. And do you remember at school you had World Book Day or something?
Yeah.
Everyone would go different characters. I went as Steven Gerrard just because... And I got away with it because he was in a match. You know, do you remember the match books? The match football books? Yeah. I was like, technically, he's in a book. I can go as him. But honestly, everything was Steven Gerrard.
That's incredible. I can imagine you rocking up to school in your full kit. Was there Astros involved? I'm sure there were Astros.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think, I can't remember them. Probably T90s or something. I remember rocking up with a ball as well. I took a ball with me and everything. It was his England jersey, number 4, Gerrard on the back.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that is iconic. Yeah, you're right. Gerrard was just unreal. He's always in the conversation when people, regardless of where they're from, when they talk about like the best centre mids of the game, like he's always in that conversation. Like you'll hear all the foreign players talking about it, like him, Lampard, Scholes as well. It is so annoying. Three. Yeah, they're the big three, aren't they? It's so annoying that we had. I don't know if they all played together at the same time. Probably Scholes, maybe a little bit later in his career when that England sort of set up and how it just didn't work. It still frustrates me. Still upsets me.
Yeah, Euro 2004, the golden generation. Lampard, Rooney, like Beckham, Scholes, Sol Campbell, Michael Owen. Oh, the list goes on. The squad was ridiculous.
It was insane. Yeah, I remember watching that in my year 6 hall at the time, I think, dressed in my England top. I had one of the, do you remember the reversible shirts? I think they were big.
Yes, I do. I do remember that. I do remember that, actually.
Yeah, they were mega. Anyway, I'm going on to my player. Similar to you, I think, as you're a Liverpool fan, I'm an Arsenal fan. It's obvious. It's an easy answer. It's very predictable. It's going to have to be Thierry Henry because it was the long sleeves. It's the gloves. Oh. It's the mercurial vapours. It was like watching art, mate. Honestly, I'd spend hours before and after Arsenal games, like in the garden with a Nike ball, just like playing at Highbury in my head, pretending that was Thierry Henry. And yeah, people
the
say
red
we look
shirt
alike
with the golden letter. Oh, yes. The O2. Oh,
the
O2.
Wow. It's the O2 shirt. Yeah, that was my favourite Arsenal shirt of that era. I think it just because of. You still see the pictures of him now get uploaded onto Twitter. Like, you know, it was over before it even started when he rocks up with the gloves. Yeah. And I don't think I realised, as an Arsenal fan in that era, I don't think I realised how lucky I was to grow up with like one of the best teams in the world in the form of their life.
Yeah,
like
100%.
I thought it was normal, 100%. Mate. Like, I remember the Invincibles. Yeah. I just thought that was pretty good. I didn't really understand like how good it was. Do you know what I mean?
I think you realise how much you miss it now with like the current, like the last few 5 years as an Arsenal fan, probably more than five, last 10 maybe, has been just a downhill slope. It's been rough. I feel sorry for Arsenal fans.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate that.
I do have to say that Thierry Henry, for me, I think, in my opinion, he's the best player to ever play in the Premier League, ever. Out of everyone, I know Ronaldo's been in the Premier League, but in terms of like being a Premier League icon and just talent, and just, he's the best ever in the Premier League, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree. I agree definitely. And I know I'm probably a bit biased, but that you've sort of backed that up as well. But yeah, to be a fan of that Invincibles team, it was incredible. Also, there was the thing with Arsene Wenger. Like I thought it was normal for a club to keep a manager for like 20 years. Like only when I got a bit older, you see clubs like hopping between managers every few years. I don't remember what Liverpool's situation was with managers. It was a bit skippy, wasn't it?
Well, so when I was like dead young, it was obviously Gerard Houllier and then Rafa Benitez. And before Klopp, Rafa Benitez was like the longest serving Liverpool manager. We went from like Rafa to like Kenny came back and like Roy Hodgson stuff, and it was a bit of a mess for a few years. Obviously Klopp's been in knocking on 6 years now. Nice. But that period from probably after winning the FA Cup in 2006 and then maybe even up until Klopp came, there was a few years of like good play and stuff, but Liverpool were in an absolute dire situation.
How are you feeling at the moment as a Liverpool fan?
I'm probably, you know what, before I say this, I know a lot of people are going, oh yeah, great Scouse accent you've got and stuff like that. And that's a whole different topic for another time. I'll back that 100% as to why I'm a Liverpool fan. And
hey, you support
accent.
Brentford as well.
My family, my granddad used to play for Brentford back in the day. Oh, and nice. So my whole family are from West London, from Brentford. And I have no idea where the Liverpool came from, but ever since I was young, my granddad, my nan and grand used to look after me like most days. Obviously, my mum and dad are at work, and it was just Liverpool from my granddad. He was obsessed with Kenny Dalglish, and then you get used to what you grow up with, what you're taught. So I was surrounded by Liverpool, and that's why I support Liverpool. Like, if my dad was a Saints fan, or like my family were a Saints fan, I'd be a Saints fan. It's kind of it could have been any team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So where do you draw the line then between like your affiliation with Brentford and with Liverpool? Obviously, they're not in the same league now. If they were playing against each other.
It's crazy. I've had this so many times. We were so desperate for Brentford to come up last year when we were in the playoff finals. And honestly, I think I'd have to step down and just, obviously Liverpool probably win, but if Brentford were to beat Liverpool, like I couldn't be upset because my granddad wouldn't be upset either. But I'd love to see them play against each other. I think that'd be brilliant.
Yeah, I agree. I think that'd be good. So we've discussed our sort of favourite players, I guess, the players that helped us fall in love with the sport. Were there any players though that you didn't like? Like, I remember really disliking Didier Drogba, mainly because as an Arsenal fan, loving Thierry Henry so much, he was like the closest sort of thing you had to in terms of talent. He was the closest. He was the other choice that people sort of went for, and I was probably just protective.
No, that's a great question. Off the top of my head, I'd probably go for, it's so hard nowadays, I don't really like, there's players that you think that you don't really like when you see them. Everton, there's a few Everton players, you know, Holgate. I'm not really a fan of Holgate.
No.
I don't know why. I watched him for one game and he just like, he looked like a spoiled brat on the
he's
pitch.
He's done nothing wrong.
I was like, no. You know what? I can't actually think. You know, actually, no, lie. When Ronaldo was at United, I used to I just didn't like him. Like I was even though I was young, I was still appreciative that he was a great player, and mainly probably because it was United. But just Ronaldo. I think he just used to annoy me, especially like when he used to showboat all the time. But now I can step back and go, nah, it's Ronaldo. I should have never been like... Should have never had a negative opinion towards him. But yeah, that's when I was like younger.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It was annoying though when he'd run rings around your defender and then come back and just do step overs in front of your player just to pull their pants down. Yeah, pain in the ass,
literally.
Mate. That night in Istanbul, how old were you when that happened?
I was 5 and now obviously dead young, but I still remember like the game and stuff, and I remember we were in the Champions League final 2 years later when we played AC Milan again, where we lost that time. But even I've always had like quite a good memory. I can remember things from when I was like 2, and something like that you just don't forget. Even though at that age you don't really have an opinion on football because you're kind of just a big toddler at 5 years old. But I still remember the game quite vividly, and I do wish I could experience that again. But I say the closest thing for me where I've actually been able to appreciate something and like live like one of those great comebacks was the game against Barcelona. Obviously, a bit different because it wasn't a final or something. But the fact that we went on and won the Champions League after that game was very sweet.
Yeah, that was mega. Do you ever go through the realms of YouTube to watch the Istanbul highlights?
You should see my history, mate. It's just literally, it's football. It's literally just football.
Steven Gerrard's best bits and highlights, 1080p.
Yeah. I love all that, like compilations and stuff, like great. I watch anything from like the 60s and up, like all football. Just love it.
They are always shit EDM tracks on the overlay. It's so annoying.
I just turn it off and put my Spotify in or something if I'm watching like a 20-minute one.
Yeah, good idea. I remember when Arsenal lost the Champions League final to Barcelona, I was in year 6. We went on a trip to Wales as like a goodbye to primary school. And I was devastated. The teacher wouldn't let me watch the game properly to begin with. We were at bowling at this point. I remember this so vividly. And I kept saying I needed to go to the toilet so I could walk past the TV really slowly and have a peek. And eventually they just gave in and the teacher came and sat with me whilst I watched it. But then I didn't realise how big the Champions League was
at that point. At that age, like at 5 years old, when I was that Champions League, like I didn't really, I just knew it was Liverpool in a final. Like now I can look back, watch the replay and go, wow, what a moment and stuff. But at that age, you're not really like clued up on it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, let's hope as well that one day that kids don't have that feeling for the Super League if that ever comes into fruition at some point. Let's fucking hope not.
Yeah, what a joke. Honestly, yeah, amazing.
I'll save that topic because a lot of people have sort of spoken about it. Probably better.
We would overrun by two hours if we were to do that right now.
Yeah,
we would overrun.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I want to move on to a hypothetical question, which is quite deep as well, though. I want to see if you would rather forget who you are or... Never forget who you are or never forget who everyone else is.
See, again, like, I saw this question, I was like, I kind of knew the answer straight away. Like, and I'd go with, I'd rather forget myself than forget everyone around me, because if you forgot everyone around you, you'd be the loneliest person in the world. You'd honestly, I think that would drive me insane. I'd rather forget about myself and then try and figure that out again instead of trying to relearn all these new people and stuff. And I'd hate to forget my family and friends. That'd be awful. That'd be absolutely terrible.
Yeah, there's not really a good outcome either way to this question, but that's interesting. I actually side with I'd rather forget everyone else, because I think that I don't think anyone could teach me who I am better than I could. Like, I feel like I could learn who other people are quicker than learning about myself. And I think it would be fascinating to forget who you are, because it would be like a reboot. Like, you will have all these, we all have these little judgments and opinions and beliefs that sort of shape like how we act and how we think about stuff. So it would be weird to have all them just thrown out and then you build your opinions up again. But I don't know. I think I'd rather forget other people. I would, on the face of it, I think I would enjoy learning about these people again. You can relearn about people quite easily, I think. Like, you and I, you will have forgotten people now that you were, maybe not people you're really close to, but we've all forgotten who people are. Then you remember them and you're like, oh shit, yeah, I know that person. I think that'll be easier.
With this, so is it the case of, oh, we wake up and the next day you don't remember anyone? Because that'll be pretty strange waking up, you know who you are, but you walk downstairs, you see your mum and dad, you're like, but you don't know it's your mum and dad. And you're like, what's going on? I'm in this house with these strangers.
Yeah, I think that's how it would be. You like, you'd wake up as if you're living your life, but all the people were just like almost blanked over in your memory. Sounds horrifying.
That's it. That is a deep one. Yeah, I think I'm gonna stick to my answer though, and I think I'd rather forget myself than everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. Oh, sort of on that on that note though, I guess if you like forgot who you were, you wouldn't know what makes you the person that you are. What do you think that people would say about you if they had to explain who you are, maybe like to someone else? What do you think people would say about you?
It depends on who it is. If it's my mum, she's gonna obviously give the best approval and praise, but it all depends. As a generic, I hope that people would like remember me or like define me as someone who was like had a good sense of humor, who was generous and, you know, just a decent human being. So that's what I'm hoping for. And I try and live by that.
Yeah, that's good. Although I asked that question, I don't think anyone should sort of make it their business to worry about how other people think of them. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise you'll go mad.
You're literally, if you worry about what everyone thinks of you, then yeah, you will literally just go crazy.
Yeah. I like to think though, people would say I'm a nice person, sort of similar to you. Yeah. I do think it depends on the person and the setting, because I've probably pissed people off before. Maybe not knowingly.
I reckon there's at least 20 people in this world that wouldn't mind me going missing or something. I honestly wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe from school,
like, you know, like everyone has that thing where you look back and you're like, when you're like 16, you're like, oh, such a cringy like little dickhead. And I if my 16-year-old self walks through this door right now, I tell him where to go. And like, honestly, like, you know, I was probably like such an annoying little kid. Mm. So yeah, maybe that's why.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. I agree with that. That actually leads on perfectly to the third like big question. Okay. That, would 10-year-old you be proud of the person that you've become?
In some aspects, yes. And maybe in some aspects, no. Not yet. I'll say not yet. I'd say that I'm still not. I'm at a good point. I'm happy with what I'm doing and I'm happy for the plans I've got for the future. And I feel like I'm a good human being and stuff. So in that sense, yes, but maybe there's still more to come, I think, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
maybe a few more years.
What do you think were like, or what were your aspirations when you were 10?
I think I probably had, everyone kind of has unrealistic aspirations, I think, when they're younger. But I don't know. I think in where I am at the moment with what I'm doing for like work and like what I'm doing in like creation wise and what I have done and like all my experience I've had and all the journeys I've been on, all the adventures I've been on, I think my 10-year-old self would be pretty buzzing to find out that.
Yeah, same for me. I think my 10-year-old self would be, he'd be surprised. Like, I'm 26 now. I think he'd be surprised at how much I've experienced in like in those 16 years. But yeah. I also think 10-year-old me would be really disappointed in reality. Like, it's not just wrestling on the trampoline, kiddo. You can't be spending literally all day on the PS2, on the GameCube anymore.
Oh, GameCube. Wow. What an elite console.
Incredible, incredible. Like, my 10-year-old self would be pissed off that I'm not a pro footballer or a professional golfer as well, I think.
On to that, though, I don't think there's a single boy or girl in this country that who's grown up with football, love football, hasn't thought about being a professional footballer. I think I still do. I still go, oh, imagine that. That would be so cool.
Yeah, yeah. I think I still feel, when I age and every birthday, I'm like, yeah, I could probably be in my prime years right now if I was a professional footballer.
Yeah.
I'm no longer an academy prospect. Is there anything that you hate about football, by the way? I don't know, that just entered my mind.
VAR.
Yeah.
I think, thing is, right, VAR is a good concept, but it's not done properly, especially in English football. It's just not done properly. It's not used properly. And I think that the refs, and like the in
oh,
English
mate,
football,
our refs
just
are
aren't
so
good.
Bad.
They don't know how to use it. Like, I remember watching VAR in the World Cup. I don't think there was one controversial decision. It was done properly. And I was like, this will be good for the Premier League. And it's just been an absolute disaster. So I'd say VAR, yeah, mainly. Mm.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I write that. Sorry, I've really diverted us there. Sort of back onto the people that we're becoming. What age span do you think like you changed the most? Like in between which years? Not in terms of like physically, like puberty wise. I mean, like for me, I reckon between 20 and 23, because before that I was passive. Like I don't remember really wanting to do anything. I just sort of glided through life. I wasn't really asked about anything apart from going out on a Saturday, which was fun, but you know, don't get much done.
I think I was very immature probably until 18, nearly knocking on 19, because I also didn't know what I wanted to do with myself or whatever. And I think that changed when I moved to Australia. I think I was 19 and I was there for 6 months, and that period I think I really grew up, and I didn't get on well at college, wasn't anyone else's fault other than mine. I just wasn't mature enough and I was just an idiot at the time. And I've come back from Australia and I've just gone, right, I want to knuckle down. I want to get some more qualifications behind me because I've got some great experience. I know what I love doing now, like all like content creation, etc. So I wanted to knuckle down and get another qualification, which is what I'm currently doing now. So I'd say that 19 to 20 in the last year and a half or so is when I've kind of knuckled down a bit and kind of changed gears.
What did you do for those 6 months in Australia? Did you work?
I went out and did a tour of the East Coast, met some great people who I'm actually planning to travel with again, hopefully in the future. So I did a tour, then I moved to Sydney for 4 months, worked in a bar in central Sydney, had like this rooftop bar and It was unbelievable, unbelievable.
Class, yeah. I never quite made it to Australia, but it's always been sort of on the list. Everyone says now though that New Zealand is the better shout.
That's my next stop. Actually, yeah? Funnily enough, that's my next stop. That's what I've got. That's what I'm planning at the moment.
So, well, to live or to just that. A visit?
Well, I've always wanted to live abroad, not because I'm like, oh, I'm too good for the UK. No, I just always wanted to live abroad. So it was meant to be Australia. I came back, and then when I came back, obviously COVID and that started, and then my visa ran out. So unfortunately, I can't go back to Australia with like another working holiday visa, but I can with New Zealand. And New Zealand was always second on my list. If anything ever went wrong with Australia, that was my backup. So that's what I'm going with.
Nice. I hope that happens for you pretty soon. But Alfie, that covers all the questions that we've got on this this audio exclusive episode. I was going to say bonus episode, but it's not really a bonus episode. But yeah, that's it. Done and dusted. Wicked. If you've enjoyed this, then click subscribe or follow wherever you're listening. Alfie, thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me on, man. It's been a blast.
Pleasure. The pleasure is mine. It's been a short but sweet one.
Yeah, it has indeed. I've enjoyed it though. Love the topics. I love the questions you've brought for me.
Nice one. Right, to the listeners, thank you, take care, and see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.